Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2014. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's Monday, and again, the whole country is getting beaten up again with some cold weather. And you Georgians down there, you're getting it again. So stay home. Don't drive. Don't get caught on the freeways like you did before. Be safe out there, everyone. Gold today was a safe day for gold. It was up 770 off the high of 1278, on the New York spot. We're looking at 1275.80. You have silver up 6. 2016, palladium 1391, and we have platinum 1391, and palladium we have 721. That was also up 7. The USDX today is, let me double check, no change on that today. Trading at down 0.03 at 80.64. Crude oil down a little bit. I should say up a little bit, 0.07. I'm getting my ups and my downs confused today. My crude oil is up 0.07 at 99.95. And the paper markets today, a little change. You have the Dow up 771, almost the same as gold, at 15.801. The NASDAQ up 22 at 41.48, along with the S&P just hanging out at that 1800 level, 1799.83. Real surprised they couldn't bump it over for those few points. Up 2.81, and the 10-year yield, 2.68. Janet Yellen, I guess, is her first day to speak, so it'll be interesting to see how the markets react, you know, to her, what she's going to say, and will it instill confidence, or are you going to have the markets tanking? But we'll have to wait and see. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Nice day. You know, people may not think that a $7 increase in the price of gold is all
great
that
day.
Impressive. It suits me just fine.
Absolutely.
All right. You can figure and what I really enjoy about the rise that we've seen in gold over the past several months, we've had both ups and downs, but it's been up. the trend has been last 6 weeks or so has been up steadily, not persistently exactly. I mean, it goes down, goes up a little higher, goes down, goes up a little higher, goes down. It's been coming up and down, but going up is where it's been. If gold were to go up $7 every day, that'd be $35 a week. That would translate into $1,800 a year. I mean, $7 a day is enough to more than make the price of gold double in the course of 1 year compared to where it is right now. So it's cause for celebration. I mean, $7, people are looking for $20 days and hoping for $50 days and whatever. Look, $7 is nice. I can remember when we got up to the 1900 level in 2011. And I can remember talking about it and pointing out it was fun, it was exhilarating and all of that, but I didn't like the price of gold starting to rise at an exponential level or to an exponential degree. It had gone into kind of a minor skyrocket. And I thought, ugh. I would feel way more comfortable with just slow and steady, take it up. You know, if it jumps like a skyrocket, that's exciting, but I don't trust it. If it goes up slow and steady, I'm a happy camper.
Slow and steady is good. Not only that, it builds a little bit stronger base as it goes up. You don't get a lot of the people who just buy it because it's going up, come into the market, then as soon as it has a little bit of reversal, suddenly they're selling and adding a little bit more pressure. So, you know, all the weak people are definitely out of the market. They can stay out for a while. However, it's the weak people that eventually come into the market and will help propel prices to the $3,000-$5,000 levels. So they'll be coming in at the last, but
maybe beyond $3,000 to $5,000 though. Why do you know, realistically, how high do you think the price of gold could go within, say, 3 years?
I actually believe, I mean, we will see $3,000 in 3 years.
Oh, $3,000. I'm not going to be surprised about that. I'll be surprised 3 years. I'll be surprised if we don't see it next year.
However, I also reserve my right to change based on what is happening. I mean, if you take us back to 2009, everybody thought that the U.S. currency was going to be revalued at the first part of 2010. And, you know, people at that point in time thought that gold would be at 3,000 in a short period of time. So, you know, I do believe in the higher numbers. However, I always reserve my judgment until we get to certain key levels, just like silver. Yes, I believe silver is going to do tremendous amount in the price, but I reserve my judgment till, well, let's get the 50. Then we'll see where it's going.
Come on. Stick your neck out and give us a number that we can all get excited about. It might not be cool.
Give us a number. I'm very excited at 3,000. Are you kidding me?
Because I'm not impressed by 3,000. I have no doubt that that's in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that 5,000 is in the cards within the next few years. The question is, you'll see some people. I mean, Jim Sinclair made a comment back, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or whatever, that he was anticipating $50,000 an ounce gold, but he didn't give a time frame. Well, anybody can predict $50,000 an ounce gold as long as you've got a fiat currency. As long as the fiat currency stands up, we'll get to $50,000 an ounce gold, although it may not be until the next century. All right, and you've got to put a time limit on it to make these predictions meaningful, but just the same. $10,000 numbers are bandied about. $25,000 numbers are bandied about. I don't doubt that 5,000 is reasonable and 5,000 will happen, but I wonder what goes on beyond there. And I don't mean that it would sustain. For example, I could see where the price of gold could go to $5,000 and really catch fire. And next thing you know, in a short period of time, go all the way up to maybe $10,000. But then it might also fall back. All right, skyrocket up to $10,000 an ounce, then turn around and fall backwards to who knows where. Now, when I say who knows where, it would fall back to, I don't know, maybe $4,000 an ounce or $5,000 or $7,000. I don't know, but it wouldn't keep all that $10,000 gain necessarily. But it is intriguing to try to figure out what a fair price for gold is, because the markets have been manipulated for so long that no one knows. No one knows what the free market price of gold is right now, or what it would be if we could get the manipulation off our back. So it's interesting to speculate.
And agree. And that's the whole point. That's why I say for sure 3,000. Yes, I do believe we're going to see $5,000 gold. Are we going to see it in 5 years? I don't know. We could. But definitely, I believe we're going to see three. And you're right. It could propel it up to 10. And I'm not one that'll say 25,000 or 50,000. It could. All things are relative.
Yeah, I know.
So it could have the purchasing power of 50,000. It could be priced at you know, one level, but it could have the purchasing power of 50,000. So, you know, I'm at a step at a time. But that's how I make good calls in pricing, and that's how I can advise my clients. I mean, I could sit here all day long and say, tell my clients it's going to 5 and 10,000, but I don't think I'm really giving them the you know, today's views and giving them good advice by.
Well, I understand, and when you start talking about those number, those huge numbers, they inspire everyone's sense of optimism.
Absolutely.
And greed. And people say, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, 10,000, I got to buy. It becomes a sales pitch for some people. I can tell you, and frankly, you know, I think it's going up to 10,000. Well, it's a sales pitch for some people. Now, this is not to say that anyone who predicts 10,000 is lying to make a sale. But it is to say that as a buyer, as a potential buyer for gold coins, you got to be careful. Right, we can all speculate about where the price is going, but the truth is that no one knows. And it was sensible, reasonable, prudent for people to plan. You know, we talk about, I'm talking about $3,000 gold. It would be sensible and prudent to plan on $2,000 gold. And then if it goes to $3, yippee, okay? But maybe you should make your investment decision based on the idea that gold is going to hit $2,000 within
actually,
a year, 12 months, maybe actually, or 2 years. You know, you've got to approach this stuff with a certain amount of, with a lot. You've got to filter your own emotional inclinations out of this, where you can make an objective decision and you can say, all right, I think it'll go to $2,000 by the end of, who knows, 12 months from now. Let's say 12 months from now, just for the heck of it. We can say that. All right, I think that's objective. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but for the sake of discussion. Now, someone else is telling you, I think it'll go to 3,000. I think it'll go to 5,000. Okay, fine. Maybe yes, maybe no, but can you make an objective case in your own mind without being emotionally deceived, you know, by your own greed and ambition and desire for acquisitions? Can you make an objective case that gold is going to 2,000 in a certain period of time? If you can, and if that matches with your investment requirements, then okay, buy the gold. But you shouldn't be buying the gold on the basis that it might go to 3,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. If objectively, the only thing you can come up with is,
why not? What I believe, Al, is price is all relative. You buy gold and silver, but the fundamentals of gold and silver aren't as exciting as gold going to 5 and 10,000. You know, the fundamentals of silver are not as exciting as it going to 200 and 300 and 500. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people do buy the excitement, and it is the sales pitch. Folks, you stick to the fundamentals. We have a fiat currency. It's very simple. Yeah. And as long as our monetary policy is not changing, it's not being addressed. And until they address those problems that we have, we're on this road and nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. Our gold is going higher, yeah. Period. Silver is going higher, period. And
but when? But how much higher and when? That's
we're getting, you know, much closer.
To speculate on the fundamental trend is solid, but the timing and the magnitude, you know, you need a prophet to give you those answers.
I mean, it's going higher. And that's why we go to certain levels to see how much higher it's going to go based on our problems that we have, based on the amount of debt that we have and the world has. Yeah, it could very much support the higher levels of 5,000 plus to 10,000 plus. Absolutely. But all things
are
relative.
Not unreasonable, but are they?
Absolutely not.
You know, they're not irrational, but what is the practical probability that such can happen? And that's the sort of thing that I don't think anyone can answer, but it's the kind of questions you have to pose if you are going to be prudent and wise and make these kinds of investment decisions. You can't be guiled by the fact that it might go to $50,000 an ounce according to Jim Sinclair, although it may be the next century. You can't be beguiled by that number. What's reasonable? And to the extent you can do that, then you can secure your wealth, preserve your capital, and probably appreciate your wealth appreciate in the meantime.
A lot of what folks do, what they're going through now, is whether they should buy now. And, you know, we've seen gold rise, and we're at $1,275. Folks, that's still incredibly low. Don't wait and wonder when you should buy. You know, you just buy. Remember Bob Chapman always used to say, forget about the price. You've got to buy. Price should matter. Yes, it's always great.
Oh, price always matters.
Price shouldn't matter when it comes to gold and silver, because if you stick to the fundamentals, and if you buy when it's lower as it drops in price, every time it drops, if you buy, then your overall purchases cost average down. So, you know, you can't speculate on the markets. Markets are too dangerous. Markets turn very quickly. We'll talk about Bitcoin, and that'll tell you how quick a market can turn. And particularly in the environment that we live today, when something very simple could make something just fall out of the sky. So we'll be talking about Bitcoin when we get back. But buying opportunities, we're at very low prices for gold and silver. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people over the past week and say, well, I'm going to wait and see what it does. Well, you know what it's going to do? It could very well go higher.
And I can guarantee that the people who wait and see what it's going to do are going to be the same ones who are going to be waiting and seeing. And when gold goes to $5,000 an ounce or wherever it's going, they're going to be sitting back and saying, you know, I could have bought that stuff for $1,275. I don't know what I was thinking about. Yada, yada. It is human nature. And what can you say? You know? Here's David Schechtman. He's the editor of the Miles Franklin newsletter. He says the key points are the bottom in gold is in. Gold will hit, meaning we're not going in significantly lower. Gold will hit $1,650 by August. He's predicting that gold's going to go up almost $400 by August of this year. Silver will outperform gold and be much more valuable. Gold's next target is $3,500 per ounce, and it could go much, much higher. The U.S. dollar could drop to 56. Stock market will move up strongly in this environment. Janet Yellen will have to jumpstart quantitative easing again. I think he's right. I think he's just predicting, pulling numbers out of a hat. No one really knows, but he's knowledgeable.
Well, no, I don't know.
But I'm also knowledgeable, and I know that it's time for our commercials. So, we have to break now, and for some commercial announcements, I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedars from On Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And during the break, I asked Melody if she has a special today. And she says, you got to be kidding me. And then she goes on and she's reading some articles. So I don't know whether we have a special today or do we not, Melody?
We're going to continue the Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces, 1465. We've got a lot of I'm going out on a limb, so $14.65 on the $20 gold pieces, either a Saint or a Liberty. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. They did go up $5 today, and they went up $15, so I have a few left at this level, so give us a call. And visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We do have a caller, but I just wanted to say the White House delayed health insurance mandate for medium-sized employers until 2016. Now, supposedly, firms that have at least 100 employers, they're going to have to start offering this coverage in 2015, as was scheduled. But these people who have between 50 and 99 employees get a grace period. And I find that really interesting.
Yeah, it's just more evidence they're backing off. They can't deal with the situation. I don't know. Why don't they just take the Obamacare out in the back, you know, put a bullet to its head and bury it. Be done with it. It does not look like it's going to survive. Doesn't look like it's going to work. Somebody had just, you know, kind of a mercy killing. Take Obamacare out in the backyard.
Well, the problem, what I see, though, that is probably the sector that's going to have the most impact on businesses. And so it would have the most impact, negative impact on the economy. That's the only reason I could think of why they would extend it. It doesn't have anything to do with the employees and, you know, the businesses and so forth. But You get, you know, between 50 and 100 employees. That's a big impact when you have to start providing coverage. So,
yeah, it's not only that. I mean, part of the question is how many businesses do we have in this country? What percentage of businesses actually fit in that range?
Probably quite a few.
I think so, too. I don't know the numbers and I don't know the percentages, but I suspect that it's a big chunk of the business community. And what that means, in part, is that while they're going to give the businesses a break and say, you don't have to do this right now, I wonder if it's been calculated at all where they figure, well, if the businesses, these businesses aren't going to be providing Obamacare for their employees, are the employees more likely to go out and sign up for it on their own? Are they squeezing the balloon where they kind of tighten up in one place and it bulges someplace else? Do you think that might be happening? Or, you know, I have a suspicious mind, as you know, Melody, and I see these things and I always wonder, what are they up to? That's pretty much my first reaction. The government's doing something. They say they're doing one thing or another. My automatic reaction is, what are these people really up to? Because I know they're not telling me the truth. Whatever they've said, that can't be the truth of the matter. What is the truth?
I found that interesting. And what's even more interesting is the official doesn't want to give his name because the rule was not yet public, said the Treasury Department decided to allow that to the medium-sized businesses. So, again, the senior administration official doesn't want to come out and say. Anyway, we got a caller from Florida, Harvey.
Hey, Melody.
Hello, Harvey.
How are you doing today? Hello, Al.
What you got? Hello, Harvey. What you got for us?
Before the break, you were talking about the fundamentals of gold and silver. And I know over the years I see these clips of people in these various countries, like in the outback of Borneo, scraping and digging day and night for a little speck of gold. Could you imagine what the cost would be for these thousands of people? You ever see those photos in the jungle somewhere? They're scraping out through the dirt day and night, whole families, 10-year-old kids scraping and working for a little speck of gold. Isn't that amazing? That we can get it so inexpensively in beautiful coins at Melody's shop there?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. For what it's worth, I know some people who have been down in Colombia, and they claim they claim to know of a spot back in the jungle where the natives back there, when they need a little money, they just go down to the creek and dig it out. I mean, the gold is, according to the reports, and I know that how nutty this sounds, but it's from people I think are probably telling me the truth. I don't think this is exaggerated. And they just go out, and the gold is almost laying around on the ground where they can pick it up and go into town and get a gold nugget and go into town and buy whatever it is they want. They're not particularly greedy people. They're not trying to buy a new Cadillac or something. They need some thatch for their hut. They go find a little gold and go to town. Get it. The problem is that the area is allegedly controlled by one of the military units that are in quasi rebellion in Colombia, and it's not safe if you're not a native. It's just not safe to go up there, and so nobody's going. But these are interesting stories, and I won't argue that they're true. I'm just telling you they're told to me as true, and I don't think the people were lying who told me, but who can say?
I think Zimbabwe.
Well, it just so happens, and I've been in the jungles in Colombia, and you don't make it out of the mountains. Well, actually, in Bogota, you don't make it out of the mountains. You know, up in the mountains above Bogota is one of the greatest emerald finds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's all strictly controlled by the military. Matter of fact, they have a emerald processing factory inside Bogota that's totally surrounded by the military, and you don't make it out of the mountains alive unless you pay. But even in Colombia, they don't just find nuggets of gold. They work day and night in giant mines. Slave, I mean, literally worse than any slave ever lived in America to get a little bit of gold.
Yeah.
And it's not the gangs, the criminal gangs, it's the military. It's all highly controlled. It's amazing that we can get it for $1,275 a perfect ounce of gold. And I wish Melody would have some people on to talk about mining. You know, there's large-scale mining where they process hundreds of thousands of in ore in America and all over the world. They have these giant mines where they have tremendous excavating machines. But I'd like to have somebody on the air that really knows the ins and outs, because to me, it seems like it's truly a bargain at $1,200-something an ounce. And don't forget, in South Africa, where the biggest mines are, there's always warring. They're warring just to get a decent living wage and killing. Mm-hmm. Killing the mine owners actually shoot the people dead if they want a raise in pay. So at the real price, if it cost them $1,200 an ounce to get an ounce of gold to America, can you imagine? And that's in blood and sweat and filth. Could you imagine what the real price should be? I would say easily double, triple if they paid these people a living wage. I mean, it's really incredible. I wish you would find somebody much more knowledgeable than myself to talk about these things and see what the real cost is. From the high-tech mines to the lowest-cost mines to the whole town where they're scraping through the mud day and night to get maybe one nugget a month, one nugget a year. Yeah.
Well, you know, in some places, a couple ounces of gold would be more than enough to support you for the whole year. I mean, some places, they don't even make the price of 1 ounce of gold.
It's very...
People are living in such poverty that they don't, their income is not even 1 ounce of gold.
It's very difficult to get an ounce of gold out of the ground. I know in Zimbabwe, during their height of their inflation, you had people sending the kids to the rivers to try and find gold, just so they could buy bread to feed them. And it's not an easy task.
In Indonesia, I think it is it's a highly polluting. Unless you're doing large-scale mining and have modern techniques for environmental protection, that the amount of pollution, you still use mercury in some countries where the whole town has actually gone insane from using the mercury and sniffing the vapors in these little villages and in these huts where they process the gold and they're sniffing the fumes. So if you take into effect the environmental cause as well as the labor involved in this is really, truly incredible. It should be so much more expensive. And I wish you could maybe hunt down some experts, Al. You know, Bob Chapman was certainly an expert. He lived in Zimbabwe, and he knew about mining very much so. And even he didn't talk that much about the mining on your show. But I'd really love to learn as much as I could about that. What is the true cost of bringing, especially gold? I don't know that silver's the same process, but especially gold, bringing it to the current modern markets, and what it has to go through, the road it travels, is a circuitous route that I think would be an amazing story.
I'll bet it would be, especially if you calculate how much is siphoned off. Here we have gold being mined at point A. How much of it actually gets to point B without some percentage of it being siphoned off in the middle and going to where? Maybe we don't even know. I can remember visiting the Homestake mine. I believe it was called Homestake. And this would go back. Do you even remember that? It's perhaps the Dakotas. Maybe it's Minnesota. I don't even remember. This goes back to the late 1950s on a vacation with my folks. And at the time, my dad had an excavation business, so I had some appreciation of the idea of moving dirt, all right, and mining and so on. And they were, out of every ton of ore that they extracted from the ground, they were picking up a fraction of an ounce of gold at a time when gold was $35 an ounce, if I remember correctly. All right, it was just dirt cheap compared to what it is today, at least in terms of nominal price. And they would take that ton of gold. I can remember them explaining, they took that ton of gold and they would pound it with machines, hammers, big hammers, giant hammers. They would pound that ore until it was finer than flour, right? And then they would run mercury through that finely powdered ore. And that mercury would absorb the gold and turn the gold into essentially a fluid. And that's a metaphor rather than an accurate statement, probably. But as the mercury soaked through the ore, it would take that gold into suspension, and it would go to the bottom of the powdered ore, and then it would coat out on copper plates, and then they'd heat the copper plates, if I recall copper plates. They'd heat them hot enough to vaporize the mercury, essentially boil it off, and whatever remained would be the gold that they'd pulled out. And I can remember just being astonished by those reports, because I'm thinking, good God, you take a ton of rock and you're going to beat that finer than flour? I mean, that's an all-day job, I guarantee you.
And that's what they do in these huts. And then they sniff in the fumes. That, you know, they're living in shacks and in huts in the jungles of Borneo and Indonesia and all. And the whole, and because mercury is so bad for your brain that they really literally are insane from it, but they have no other way to make a living.
Do you suppose that's where they got the term gold fever?
What's that?
Harvey, do you suppose that's where they got the term gold fever?
No.
If you get into it, is it really mercury fever or is it gold fever?
The greed and the lust for gold that's been...
No, I understand.
...time in memoriam. But they do have the expression mad as a hatter, and I think they used to use, in the hat factories, they used to use some sort of mercury to make the hats. And that's why they were.
And now that we know that it's not safe for hatters, and it's not safe for miners, where do we put it? We put it in the fillings in our mouth.
Yeah, mercury. Well, they've learned over the years that that's not so good, and there are dentists that specialize in removing it.
I understand
and they
that.
Take it all out and then sell it to Melanie, who could put it into a coin and sell it to me.
It is amazing, isn't it? First, you pay to put that stuff in your mouth, and then you pay to pull it out. It's a great business model, and whatever you put it there, you're going to find a reason to pull
it out.
We're losing you, Harvey.
All right, Harvey,
okay,
we're going
to
say...
I'm on the computer phone. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Try to find somebody that knows that stuff.
Will do. Will do.
All right, Melody, what have we got, a minute and a half or so before we take a break? Yep, about a minute and a half.
All righty.
So talk about in the meantime. How about, let me get to China. China's gold demand tops 1,000 tons for the first time. It's from Reuters. China's gold consumption jumped 41% in 2013 to 1,176 tons, all right? About 57 bullion demand jumped 57% to 375 tons. Much of the gold went into jewelry and so on. What's this demand for gold by China prove? It suggests, one, that the Chinese government, the Chinese people do not trust paper or digital currencies. I'm sure they do to some degree, but a lot of them don't. Therefore, they're getting gold. It also suggests, number two, that the Chinese government and the Chinese people are dedicated to saving as much of their earnings as possible. First time in generations that they've actually had enough where some of them could begin to save on a regular basis. And I suspect that the gold is evidence of a national inclination to save if they're given the chance to do so. And that poses a serious threat to the people of the United States who save virtually nothing. China is behaving in a sensible manner. We are not. There'll be a day when that difference may become more obvious. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Bitcoin.
Yeah, here's an article from The Exchange. It's entitled, Bitcoin Crashes Again. Is it over for the cryptocurrency? Bitcoin, the digital currency based on computer encryption techniques, was supposed to cut out all the horse-drawn carriage and buggy whip overhead of the current system and provide a sleek, cheap, speed-of-light payment network. But as the cryptocurrency faces its third mega crash in the past 3 months, it's not working out that way. It now seems that the dream of frictionless, unregulated virtual currency may end up just that, an unsustainable fantasy. Latest embarrassment for Bitcoin proponents began 4 days ago when its largest exchange, Tokyo-based Mt.Gox, suspended customer withdrawals. And if you tried to get your money out of that exchange, they said, nope, can't have it. Now, what's interesting about that is that sort of suspension is possible with any digital-based currency, like credit cards, debit cards, and so on. And the lesson in all of this, for example, they can suspend your MasterCard, your Visa card, your debit card, your access to your ATM machine. All of that can be suspended at the speed of light, much as they did with Bitcoins in Tokyo in the last several days. That's before you trust your wealth to a digital currency, you'd better first confirm that you can, one, trust your bank. People are talking about bail-ins. There are laws being passed to allow different countries, and I believe they've done it in this country. I can't say for an absolute fact, but I believe they've passed laws in this country that will allow the banks to commit bail-ins. If they get in a bind, they can take the money you deposited into your account, and they can say, well, we need this money in order to keep the bank running. Well, if they do that, guess what? You've just had your account, at least in part, suspended. Your access to your digital currency is now restricted perhaps even eliminated. And it's not a temporary thing. They're going to take your currency. They might give you stock in the bank or something like that, but they're going to take your savings in some instances. I'm not saying it's going to happen today, tomorrow, or, you know, within 5 years. But they're gearing up for that possibility. So the point is, if you're going to trust in a digital currency, you'd better first confirm that you can, one, trust your bank, and two, trust your government not to rob your account or instantly suspend your assets to that digital account. Government needs the money. I guarantee you they are going to dress up like Willie Sutton and rob the banks. Just, you know, again, Willie Sutton, they asked him back, he was a famous bank robber during the Great Depression. They asked him, why do you rob banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. Huh? I guarantee you the government gets that idea. And all that digital currency squirreled away in one nice little location from thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands, put all their money in one nice, neat little computer. And all the government has to do is pass a law, throw a switch, and bang. Those of you who thought you had digital currency may discover, no, you don't. These possibilities are exemplified by Bitcoin's recent problems. The article goes on and it says the exchange set a flaw in the Bitcoin standard, allowed fraudulent cancellation of completed transactions. This is another problem with digital currencies. When you have a digital currency, it's always vulnerable. I don't care what computer system you devise to protect the currency, make sure it's absolutely protected. Come up with a new currency or a new computer program that guarantees you can't hack into it. And the world will beat a path to your doorstep. And everybody will put their money in your bank because you've got the one program that absolutely defeats all the hackers. Well, when all the money in the world is in that one bank, I guarantee you, or at least much of it, it'll only attract the hackers. And they'll keep on focusing on your program and they'll find flaws. You know, you're talking about a program that's got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of lines of code. It isn't perfect. I guarantee you they'll find a way to break through, and all of a sudden it'll be like having your credit card information at Target. Huh? All of a sudden somebody takes, if I understand correctly, 100 million individuals' credit information from Target at one time. In theory, within a matter of minutes. You do that, you're going to trust in digital currencies, you are always going to be vulnerable. When the form of your currency is intangible, like paper, digital dollars, there's no protection against manipulation of the value or even the possession of the wealth that's represented by your currency. You can be robbed or defrauded instantaneously and at any moment by a competent hacker, your bank, or even your government, or any other criminal or quasi-criminal organization. On the other hand, if you store your wealth in the form of clunky old gold coins, your use of that wealth may not be as convenient as using credit cards and debit cards, but your gold is also not as vulnerable. Instantaneous electronic theft as are digital currencies. So, you know, gold coins aren't perfect, but they're pretty safe. If somebody's going to rob you, they actually have to come in your house and thump you on the head and figure out where you've got your gold coins hid if they want to steal them. It is so much easier to rob a bank where you don't even have to open the door. All you have to do is find a way to hack into the bank computer and make the ones and zeros on the hard drive move someplace else. You don't risk being shot. You don't have to. I mean, the risk of being caught is minimal. Digital theft, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a thief, it's the way to go, and I guarantee you everybody in Congress appreciates that information. So does everyone in the White House. You're going to store your wealth digitally? you better have a pretty good system, because otherwise you're liable to lose it. On the other hand, if you store tangible wealth in the form of something like gold and silver, it's much more difficult to rob you.
No? Well, well, today Bitcoin had a flash crash, and it actually dropped all the way down to 106 from 500 and something. So I'm not sure if that was really a flash crash, or maybe they opened it up for trading, and it actually dipped down that low. But when you have governments coming out and saying that it's illegal, governments are trying to figure out what to do with Bitcoin, and when you have governments in there that do not want it to work, they can come in there and they can just shut it down, and you could just lose
not
everything.
Just shut it down. They can hack it down. For example,
they can do whatever they want to it, but the point is you'll lose everything. Governments are not going to allow Bitcoin to continue, and it really is as simple as that. When you have Russia coming out and saying that it cannot be used by individuals and legal entities, you had China come out and said the same thing. You have a lot of these, even Apple came back and they pulled the app for Bitcoin. So they're turning its back on, and that was a key transaction app for Bitcoin. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, and you know, Bitcoin's coming out and say, well, it's just, these are just growing pains. Yeah, they're growing pains, all right. They're going to grow you right into the ground if, you know, people don't get their money out of there. So if you got money in Bitcoins, the moral of the story is get it out of there before you lose it all.
Well, you know, after the recent mega crash they talked about in the last week or 10 days, it says the price of Bitcoin plummeted. After holding in a range of $900 to $1,000 for most of 2014.
But it flash crashed. 2013. It flash crashed to $100 today.
Yeah, but this was written before that. Bitcoin prices dropped as low as $500 before recovering slightly to $700 on Monday. Point is, they're extraordinarily vulnerable. They're certainly subject to manipulation, right? People in positions of power can make the money, make the value of the Bitcoin go up or go down. It can be handled with computer programs, much the same as they manipulate the price of gold in comics. This is all doable. It would be astonishing if it wasn't being done. And you can invest this, and they'll jack the price up to, who knows, $1,500 a Bitcoin. And then somebody's going to essentially steal 70-80% of that $1,500, and it falls back down to $800. Well, then it might go up and it might go down. We'll watch and see, but you can't count on it. It's interesting and it's fascinating, but it's attractive in the same sense that a lot of video games are attractive and beguiling. But you can't really control what's going on. You can develop a certain amount of expertise, but people
Bitcoin,
can shoot back at you. You shoot at them.
Bitcoin is pretty much like Iraqi dinars, mm-hmm. You know. But at least Bitcoin, you could have made a profit on it.
Well, you still might be able to, but you can
possibly.
Also suffer a significant loss. It isn't a reliable means. And it has no tangible reality. And it's easily manipulated. I mean, it's not enough to have a slick computer program to store your wealth in the form of bitcoins. You've got to have some extremely moral individuals that are running the whole operation. But I guarantee there are people in positions of power who are able to take your bitcoins and take them home with them if that's what they want to do, or transfer them to their cousin, you know, in Argentina or whatever, and make it happen in ways where no one can easily understand what's happened. That's possible precisely because you're dealing with a digital form of wealth that is intangible rather than a tangible form of wealth like gold and silver coins. Again, you know, bitcoins and computer, credit cards and debit cards, certainly they have enormous convenience. But they have, in that convenience, they also have enormous vulnerability. If you can use your credit card in any one of a million different stores, what that means ultimately is there are a million different people who, in theory, can get access to your credit card information. And you're betting that all of those million people are moral, ethical, honest, and not inclined to steal under circumstances where it's almost certain they might be able to get away with a theft. Computer, you know, these cryptocurrencies, digital currencies work pretty well in a world where everyone is highly moral, honest, and unwilling to steal. But you take these digital currencies and put them in a world where people are immoral, greedy, and more than willing to rob the next guy if they think they can get away with it, and you're going to have a problem with your digital currency. So again, point is,
the only digital currency that's going to work is one that's produced by a government. Because they're not going to allow it. It's that simple.
Governments are not going to allow it. Yeah, but they won't allow competitors. I'll give you that. But even then, the government has been depreciating the price and the value of the dollar for 40 years, and that was in paper. And they've knocked it down 95% since 71. I guarantee they would. You give them a digital currency, and they'll make it fall even faster. The government is just as big a bunch of crooks practically as the run-of-the-mill hacker, with this exception. The government can't run and hide and disappear the way the hacker can. Somebody in government still has to explain where the money went. When you get robbed, somebody in government says, well, who got the money? They can't just say, well, we don't know. They can't let that pass, especially if millions or billions of dollars are made to disappear. Somebody's got to know. They got to look. So government can't beat the rap, where the conventional hacker, he breaks in, steals some money, and he's gone. You don't even know who he was, and he won't be easily found. So government has to be a little more moderate. They probably won't steal as much or as fast as conventional hackers, but they will steal as much or more.
Heck, nobody
than
even
all
knows.
The hackers of the world could even imagine.
I mean, Bitcoin is nothing. Nobody even knows who's behind it. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if you're a business person and took Bitcoin to sell a sub or here, yeah, you got publicity. That's what you got out of it. Now look at the heartache trying to convert and figure out how much your Bitcoins are worth versus a haircut or a pair of shoes or something. I mean, it's just silly. It's stupid. And I think anybody who thinks that Bitcoin
is a horse race.
Some
people will do well, but most people will not. All right. Some people are going to win the horse race. Most people will not. We've got to go, folks, because we're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, good Lord, bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.